Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, we did. We bit that apple, and the garden was lost. This is Harvey Wasserman here with another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We've got a very, very powerful show today. We have something to celebrate and something to really be concerned about, all at the same time, all from the same power company. As many of you may know, the Entergy, the McNuke operator, the McDonald's franchise corporation here that's running about a dozen nukes in this country, or been running a dozen nukes in this country, recently caved finally after lying, cheating, and stealing for years, and finally agreed to the shutdown of the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant. And now they have announced this week that the Pilgrim nuclear reactor south of Boston near Plymouth Rock, I've been there, will shut down. Now, they've issued and it's a big deal, and we all need to celebrate, and I have two fantastic local activists to talk about that. Sheila Parks and Arlene Williams are with us, and we're going to go right into that in a minute. We also have Paul Gunter from the National Organization Beyond Nuclear and Tim Judson from the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. So we are going to look at this shutdown from top to bottom. This shutdown would take the U.S. nuclear reactor fleet down to 98. We're at 99 right now. The damn thing should have shut a long time ago. It should be shut today, but the owners, Entergy, have said that they're going to shut it down no later than June 1st, 2019, which is way too long for me. So, Sheila Parks, you have been working on this for years. You graciously hosted a beautiful potluck dinner we had in Watertown, which led directly to this announcement from Entergy. Tell us, as a local living in Boston, your reaction now to Entergy's announcement of the pending shutdown at Pilgrim.
Hi, Harvey, Arlene, Tim, and Paul. I'm not dancing in the streets yet, Harvey. I'm glad that it's going to shut down, but, you know, for me it's a moral issue, and I think it never should have been built. And the gangsters that built it and are still lying as in their process of shutting it down are not to be trusted. And who knows what's going to be happening. I mean, I'm reading about Vermont Yankees. It's going to take them, well, we knew this before, 60 years to decommission it, and that safe store thing that they're going to do that they're talking about doing to Pilgrim, too. So it's good that they're closing it down. They're doing it in a terrible way. You did the dates. They're going to let us know by early 2016, by spring 2016, if they're going to close it, when they're going to close it. And they may not refuel it in June 2017, and so that's when they'll close it down.
Okay, so very good. Arlene Williams, what can you tell us?
Hi. Yeah, I'm stepping in, actually, for Diane Turco. We are both with Cape Downwinders.
Yes,
I agree with Sheila that we are...
Wait, Arlene, one second.
Yeah.
Sheila, I failed to announce your group. Can you announce who you work with and where you are?
Yeah, I would like to say that. So I'm the founder of a group called On Behalf of Planet Earth. We stood at the Japanese consulate for a long time, over a year, and worked about Fukushima, and then Diane approached us to work with the Cape Downwinders, which we were aching to do anyhow, and so we did, so we've been doing that. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Sheila.
Okay, Arlene, now please proceed. Sorry to interrupt
you,
but I want to make sure.
Yeah, I agree with Sheila. You know, it's really not a victory. I mean, it's certainly a wonderful thing to hear the word closure, finally, but we're talking that a possibility of 4 years out. However, I really don't think that it will go that long, because there will be a new refueling cycle in 2017, the spring of 2017, and that involves millions and millions of dollars. So with a plant that Entergy at the press conference said is bound to lose $40 million a year because it's no longer viable, I cannot imagine them going beyond, you know, the life cycle of this fueling that they just did last spring. But, you know, it brings a whole nother set of worries to the table. And, you know, we all know that Pilgrim had a very poor assessment. It was downgraded to Category 4 by the NRC the beginning of September of this year. So that's one step ahead of the NRC actually shutting the plant down, because there are so many mechanical problems. There are so many safety violations, and they almost appear weekly at this point. So, you know, we're very nervous, and we know that with the announcement closing and poor employee morale, that people will be probably looking for other jobs. The staff may not be as experienced as people do, you know, leave the facility to go find other jobs, and you know, it's just a whole other set of worries.
All right, very good. Thank you,
Arlene. Something else. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to say something else.
Go ahead.
You know, so one of the other things that's happening along with this is that finally the Boston Globe is writing about it almost on a daily basis. But they either are on the side of Entergy in some funny way, or they're on the side of the NRC, or they have no fact checkers whatsoever. They need some activists, the fact checkers, is my opinion. I mean, like, today was an incredible day. I mean, they ran a wonderful, wonderful letter from Diane right at the top of the letters page. And on the opposite page, they had an editorial where they called nuclear power clean. You know, they're just so they write these things that, you know, they have kind of sympathy for the NRC there. And on the other hand, they end it with saying that the nuclear fuel can remain dangerous for 250,000 years. So the Globe getting information out to all the people is a very mixed bag, because the people are reading lies and, you know, not real facts.
Amazing. It is mind-boggling, isn't it? Tim Judson, you're with the Nuclear Information Resource Service in D.C., and you are working very hard on another Entergy plant, the Fitzpatrick reactor in upstate New York. What do you think of what Entergy has said about Pilgrim, and how is this going to impact their other reactors? Tim Judson, are you there? Hello? Tim Judson, hello?
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world.
Okay, we're back. The Central Intelligence Agency has made its presence felt once again. Tim Judson, are you with us? Tim, hello.
Hello.
Tim,
hello.
Judson, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right,
you.
Very good. This happens, you know, frequently. We assume that there are people hacking the show, and we just got to live with it. So you're back with us. The question, Tim, was we've heard from Arlene and Sheila Parks in the Boston area. You're in mm-hmm. D.C. You've been working very steadily on Entergy, which owns the Pilgrim reactor, and which has announced it will shut down no later than June 1st, 2019. You've mm-hmm. also been working on the Fitzpatrick reactor in upstate New York. What do you make of Boston, of the, I keep wanting to call it Boston Edison, who's bossing Edison for so long. What do you make of Entergy's decision, announcement, and how will this impact other Entergy reactors?
Yeah, well, I actually agree with Arlene that I think that it's more likely that that Entergy is going to shut Pilgrim down sooner than 2019, and probably in 2017. When they're scheduled for their next refueling. The issue is really that Entergy has basically obligated itself to run to 2019 by a commitment to the region's grid operator, and they're basically going to be working to try to get out of that commitment as soon as they can. But if they can't, they would actually face fines, from the grid operator for shutting down. So they're sort of in a bind, which is, I think a sign of how poorly Entergy has been planning and running its whole nuclear operation for several years. We've known for 2.5 years that the Pilgrim was in financial trouble. And in fact, NIRS as well as Beyond Nuclear, Pilgrim Watch, and then also local anti-nuclear groups in Vermont and New York, petitioned the NRC to shut down Pilgrim, Vermont Yankee, and the Fitzpatrick reactor 2.5 years ago, because we knew that the Entergy was not financially qualified to run these plants. That basically the issue that these plants were losing money, and that Entergy was going to be cutting costs on maintenance and safety at these plants, which is exactly what's happened with Pilgrim. In fact, beginning around that time, 2.5 years ago, you started to see more and more safety problems at Pilgrim, which landed Pilgrim, on essentially NRC's watch list for the worst run reactors in the country. And that's, what sort of prompted Entergy to make the decision to close now. They were going to try to squeak this reactor by for several more years and try to get more subsidies out of the state of Massachusetts and the regional electricity market. But the fact that they basically are going to be forced by NRC to invest, tens of millions of dollars in resolving these series of safety problems is too much, and it just pushed them over the edge. And we're going to see the same thing probably with Fitzpatrick in New York soon, which Entergy has said that by the end of October they're going to announce their decision on whether to close Fitzpatrick as well. And what we're expecting there is that Entergy will probably announce a decision to close, and then basically they're lining up every politician they can in the local community to lobby the governor of New York for enormous subsidies in order to keep that plant going, basically as a jobs program. And so we're working with the Alliance for a Green Economy and other organizations in New York to make sure that the governor really sort of stays on the right side of this issue. Allows Fitzpatrick to close, but to really focus on, what's next for the community, and to use the closure of these plants as a real opportunity to accelerate the deployment of renewable energy and real sustainable energy solutions to take up the slack that we should have been planning to do anyway.
Okay, we're also joined by Paul Gunter. Thank you, Tim. Very, very important stuff, and I am going to devote the whole hour to the four of you. We just need to get to the bottom of this. Entergy also owns two reactors at Indian Point and several others. I want to touch on all of them. Paul Gunter of the Beyond Nuclear, one of our great experts, what do you think of what Entergy has now said about the Pilgrim plant?
Well, thanks, Harvey. I think the big concern here is that what we're seeing is that as the profit motive is lost on the misadventures of nuclear power, the continued operation of these reactors becomes increasingly more dangerous. And it's a big concern that Entergy is even thinking about operating this reactor for as long as June 2019, primarily because, there's an order out by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission that Pilgrim has had its operating license modified by the Fukushima accident. And it has to do with the fact that Pilgrim and Fitzpatrick and some 21 other or 20 other General Electric Mark I boiling water reactors are guaranteed to fail if there is a severe accident. And so the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, you know, they had to admit that there has to be some modification to the flawed containment structure for the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant. And so there was an order passed in 2013 that they had to make some modifications to put a vent on these containments rather than try to contain an accident. So they're going to temporarily vent an accident in order to prevent permanent failure. But that means really more radiation, you know, during getting out during an accident. But anyways, the order established a timeline that Entergy and other GE Mark I reactors had to comply. And for Pilgrim, that compliance date comes due during the summer of 2017. So if they were to even think about refueling and operating that reactor without spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars on this modification to the containment, they will be in violation of their operating license. And it's that kind of, you know, financial consideration versus public safety that they're juggling with when they even consider operating to 2019.
Well, it's outrageous. Now, we do have precedent on this. We do have precedent on this, and Paul, hold on a sec. We have precedent on this from Oyster Creek. The Oyster Creek reactor has been in violation of federal water quality standards for years now, and they're still operating. Paul, what do you say about that?
Harvey, it's really hard. Your question was really broken up. I think you're asking me about Oyster Creek in New Jersey, which is the first General Electric Mark I boiling water reactor. And, you know, their same order applies. Oyster Creek is required under this order to install that same containment vent modification for on their plant by the fall of 2016. So next year they're supposed to have that. And in this case, Exelon, who operates Oyster Creek, has asked the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission for an extension to comply with the order until after they close the plant in 2019. I mean, that's how absurd this whole thing is, and what it demonstrates, you know, given that the NRC has not told them flat out, you know, an order is an order. So the NRC is currently considering waiving compliance with its own order so that they would let Oyster Creek operate until December 31st, 2019. We're working diligently with similar groups in New Jersey to challenge that both the licensee's flagrant willingness to violate law and the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission apparent willingness to even give that a second thought.
It's mind-boggling. Sheila Parks, as an activist in Boston, what are you thinking of in terms of activism to push the shutdown date at Pilgrim?
I heard you say my name as an activist. What do I think? And then I couldn't hear. Yeah.
What are the local groups going to do in the Boston area?
It's like what
Pilgrim shut early.
Hello?
Yes.
I think we're on the bottom.
Yes.
Yes.
What are the problems we're going to be doing now to get Pilgrim shut early?
Colleen, write me an email.
Sheila, yeah, I think he asked what are the Boston groups doing about the news, basically, that broke, and what do they plan to do? Is that correct, Harvey?
Okay, Harvey, so I wanted to say a few other things besides that question first, okay? I was interested very in the Washington contingent statement that Diane had forwarded, that you forwarded to all of us, you know, what the Massachusetts contingent is asking the NRC to do. And in that first paragraph, they mentioned public health. And I couldn't help but notice, Paul, when you talked about it, you talked about public safety. And I just want to really flag this now. There's a Sheldon Trubet, who used to work as an acting solicitor for the NRC. He's a lawyer. And he wrote an incredible memo, which I'm getting forward to all of you, about how the United States Supreme Court and the Congress colluded, collaborated, whatever word you want, to make sure that we the people could never mention health, cancer, radiation, which for me is the chase. That's what I want to talk about now as an activist, to answer your question, Harvey. That's what our whole group wants to talk about now is public health. People are dying of cancer and leukemia. I have incredible theories to publish soon. And we can't do that because the Supreme Court and its infinite wisdom said that purview is left up to the NRC. And we the people seem to go along with it instead of doing some civil disobedience. You know, slavery was legal in this country after the Dred Scott decision and before it. Everything that the Germans did in Nazi Germany was legal. It's time that we here stop following these immoral, illegal rulings of the Supreme Court and talk about cancer and health and radiation. So that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to talk about it and keep on talking about it in Boston. We're also, and I'm sure Alima will want to talk about this too, it was planned before this whole thing happened with Entergy. There's a big standout speakout at the State House next Thursday, October 22nd, from 1 to 3, that we're asking everybody to come to now more than ever because this is not a victory. People say congratulations all day. I said, do not congratulate us. This is a worse part of it. You're playing Russian roulette with us, Harvey. So we're going to up the ante. Well, I never said to ever, ever. I always get close.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Will we bid that apple? The garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
We needed more. The rich got rich, the poor got sore. The fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so they gave nuclear power a try. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over.
Okay, we're back. The problem is that we can't be on speakerphone, so we need to be talking directly, and the speakerphone creates an echo, especially when we have four guests. So please talk directly into the phone. Thank you so much. Sheila, I had asked you, Sheila Parks in Boston, I had asked you what the grassroots are going to be doing to get the Pilgrim shut early, if you can tell us, and we'll move to Arlene and then Tim and Paul again.
Harvey, are you saying you couldn't hear me? It was all garbled?
Yeah, so just repeat what you said. We had an echo. You have to speak directly into a phone. It can't have a speakerphone. I didn't know that either. And so
is this better?
Please don't use
a
speakerphone. tell us, what are the grassroots you and Arlene in the Boston area going to do, and then we'll go back to Tim and Paul.
Okay, well, okay, I'll say it all again then. So one of the things we're going to do is continue to talk here in Boston and everywhere we go on behalf of Planet Earth about cancer, radiation, leukemia, and health, because the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, has said that we, the people, are not allowed ever to talk about health or cancer or radiation. That is all left to the NRC. And there's a memo that I have, not written to me, but that is on the Internet, that I'll forward to you all, who was an acting solicitor for the NRC. And he writes about how the Congress and the Supreme Court of the United States colluded or collaborated, whichever word you want to use, to make sure that we the people would not talk about that. So they've made it illegal for us to talk about health, cancer, and radiation. I was really glad to see in the press release that Diane sent us from all the entire Mass delegation that they actually said public health, that they were concerned about public health. And the U.S. Congress wanted nuclear power plants. They wanted them then and they want them now. One of the other things that we're going to talk about in Boston is divestment. You know, why don't we have a divestment of nuclear power stock the same way they're talking about divesting fossil fuels, which is so powerful? Another thing we're doing, not only in Boston, this is nationwide, we're organizing a group that will go after Bernie Sanders to come out publicly to go against and to say stop nuclear power. I mean, he has never said that. I have two clips of him. He goes on and on about Vermont Yankee. He also talks a lot about preemption, talking about this thing that only the Nuclear Regulatory Committee can say help. But he never says in his two things that Vermont had a special thing, the legislature, that most of the other states don't have, so we are not allowed to say it. Vermont had passed something during deregulation that had them allow that. The other thing about Bernie is, and I didn't watch the debates, but I read all over the place, that he had said climate crisis was the major, major, major issue facing the planet. And he never once, nor did anybody, mention nuclear power. Hillary said nuclear proliferation, but that is not, that's the weapons. So there's a lot of work that we have to do. And by the way, and it's not so by the way, Bill McKibben and what's his name, Bernie Sanders, are very, very friendly with one another. And I think that's what Bernie Sanders' problem is with never mentioning nuclear power, to say we have to stop nuclear power now, all of it. And in
cleaner
ways than Entergy has done. I mean, I want all of us actually to write letters to Entergy and to the NRC, as Congress has just done, as the Mass delegation has done, to say, we don't like what you've done. We don't like what you've done in the past, and we don't like it now, and we don't want it for our future. You cannot play Russian roulette with our lives and the lives of our children seven generations out into eternity.
Very good. Thank you, Sue. I agree with you 100%. Arlene Williams, you're in the Boston area. You'll be working
I'm on Cape Cod, but we have planned in the Boston area next Thursday, October 22nd, a State House speakout that's being sponsored and coordinated by Cape Downwinders. And at the speakout, which we had, it's going to be at the Grand Staircase inside the State House. And we had reserved this area months ago, and it seemed like the timing is sort of perfect, if not absolutely wonderful, that it is happening next week with the news that has broken this week, because the media, and especially finally the Boston Globe, is reporting on this story almost every day, several articles a day, since actually the downgrade came in the beginning of September. So we know that the media is going to be there, and you know, they're doing us a big favor. This announcement has done us a big favor because it has given us a broader audience to talk to. So that speak out will be dealing with focusing basically on the reasons why this plant should be shut down and not wait until 2017 or 2019 to do so. We have a great lineup of speakers. We have some wonderful legislation that's pending in the State House now, some bills that talk about fee for spent fuel, expanding EPZ zones, decommissioning funds, and the legislators of those bills will be speaking briefly on what they're about. We have some great speakers from local environmental groups and activist groups. Some of those groups are Citizens Awareness Network, Sierra Club, Toxics Action, Clean Water Action, the Association to Preserve Cape Cod, on and on and on and on. So, you know, it's going to be hopefully a wonderful event, and we have invited many of the local colleges in the Boston area to participate. So that's where we're focusing right now. You know, it's funny when this news comes out that the plant closes. You're kind of like almost in shock, but you're not to the point where, you know, you at all feel comfortable. And when you start realizing what that means, it's a lot. And, you know, you start, like Sheila had said in the paper today in the Globe, you know, there's an article talking about bringing in gas and hydropower and all these other things when we should be talking about renewables, and we should be talking about things that we can do for future generations and for our energy purposes to replace Pilgrim. And those things are not being discussed. So we have some people who are going to be talking about that, as well as, you know, concerns that we have now that this announcement has been made.
Well, so obviously the people in New England, in Massachusetts, are not taking this lying down. I mean, it's a very difficult kind of limbo to live through. Tim Judson at the Nuclear Information Resource Service, how realistic is it to focus on the refuel and at Boston, at Pilgrim, and also maybe at Fitzpatrick, and try and stop them once this fuel set goes down? I know that happened at Yankee Row, where they were about to, in between fuel change, and we managed to keep them shut. What, do you think that could happen at Pilgrim?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like I said before, I think the issue right now is going to be to get, the state and the Massachusetts to really make sure that that Entergy is able to get out of these commitments to run Pilgrim for the next 3 years. And, I think that it's, pretty well understood at this point that Pilgrim isn't necessary to keep the lights on in Massachusetts. But Entergy, is sort of locked into these contractual commitments with the region's, grid operator. And I think that, the state of Massachusetts can actually play a really key and instrumental role in making sure that, that Pilgrim isn't needed to be, to be operating for another day. And I think that, the rally that Sheila and Arlene mentioned next week is going to be really important for motivating the state legislature and the governor to act. And that's, I think,
Tim Judson of Nuclear Information Resource Service, and then I'm going to ask Paul Gunter, what exactly can the state of Massachusetts do legally? And I guess we should ask them about the state of New York as well.
One of the things that's been really thorny issue in the state of Massachusetts the last 2 years is that the utility companies in Massachusetts have resisted increasing the amount of solar power, like residential solar power, that could be put on the grid. And I think that the solar industry and homeowners in Massachusetts have been clamoring for the last 2 years to lift that cap to allow more solar to come onto the grid. There's really a ton of pent up demand to be putting solar on the grid in Massachusetts. And I think that one of the things that the state legislature could do immediately is to pass legislation to ramp up solar and do things like that are going to really accelerate clean energy in Massachusetts and take care of any need for power from dirty power plants like Pilgrim.
Paul Gunter, what do you think about that?
Well, as I mentioned before, this is now turned into a regulatory compliance issue. Pilgrim's operating license has been modified by an NRC order to install a containment vent that's severe accident capable on Pilgrim by its next refueling outage, which is in 2017. So, it's my understanding that the Massachusetts Attorney General has already been contacted legally under the Atomic Energy Act. We're provided an opportunity for a public hearing to intervene any time there's a modification to the operating license. And in this case, Entergy's trying to wiggle out of a modification to its operating license that would require them to spend $15 to $20 million on a Fukushima modification to its containment. So, you know, there's a tripwire, a legal tripwire that's coming up for the operator that basically, if they're unwilling to spend $15 to $20 million to upgrade their operating license as required by an NRC order, then they can't operate. They should not be allowed to operate. Now, you know, the problem is that, you know, Entergy, as Exxon, as any of the nuclear industry, they're going to try to get the NRC to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card. And, you know, that's where this fight always ends up. It's whether or not you have a nuclear regulatory commission or no regulatory control at all. And this is what, you know, it's not just the technical issues. It's the fact that we have no effective regulatory oversight. We have a cheerleader for a regulatory body.
Well, it's amazing to me. And, you know, you could say, and Sheila, I'll ask you about this. I mean, it appears in some ways that the announcement of the shutdown of Pilgrim in 2019 could be a dodge for Entergy to say to the NRC, well, we're going to shut down in 2019, but let us out of these regulatory requirements until 2019, and then we won't have to spend the money, and that will give them another, I guess, an extra refueling cycle anyway. Now, we have this going on at Oyster Creek, which I mentioned, which kind of deal with the state of New Jersey, I guess it was in 2012, to not have to comply with water quality standards and not have to build cooling towers in exchange for allegedly shutting down in 2019. But we all know that when it comes to 2019, they could just turn around and ask for permission to go longer. And we actually have Indian Point Unit 2, which is operating without a license at all. And Indian Point 3, whose license will expire in December. Sheila, do you want to comment on that?
I want to comment on some of that and some other things. Look, I don't trust Entergy at all, and I trust the NRC less. I agree with what Paul said. I mean, they're in bed. They're the sly fox watching everything. They're in bed with all the nooksters and the gangsters. But I want to talk also about, you know, Dan Wolf has two bills that are coming up for a hearing. I think it's the week after next, related to nuclear power plants. The first one would impose a $10,000 annual charge for each spent fuel bundle that remains in pools at plants. And Pilgrim has about 3,300 of these rods in its pool, so its yearly charge would be $3.3 million. And, you know, Wolf says that bill gives incentive to move the spent fuel into dry casks. And then a second bill that Wolf has that will, you know, go into hearing is requiring plant owners to pay $25 million annually into decommissioning fund until the plants are fully decommissioned. So I think that's speaking to some of what Paul said. I also wanted to say that, you know, the same Globe editorial today talks about Charlie Baker's plans for hydro, getting it from Canada, no less. Canada, the king and queen of fracking. And not a word against it, and not a word against the pipeline, praising the pipelines that they're trying to bring into Massachusetts, a few towns away from me, and praising Charlie Baker's hydro thing. I will send Charlie Baker some stuff about hydro, but it's like the Massachusetts doesn't know anything about it. In the hearing that many of us were at, September 29, 2015, the hearing of the Joint Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy, at least 7.5 hours of testimony, perhaps 8.5. But who's counting?
Wow.
To use one of your phrases.
Let
me finish this. So only two people in that 7.5 to 8.5 hours testimony about energy, with a room filled with millions, many, many companies trying to get, you know, their products bought by the legislature, which is good. Solar and wind. Two of us mentioned Close Pilgrim. Representative Tim Madden, who lives in, you know, on the Cape and me, two of us and all of that, because probably you all know, but for the audience, Plymouth County and Nantucket County in Massachusetts have the highest cancer rate in Mass.
Right, and that's been shown now. There was a great man at the Boston Department of Health, Richard Clapp, who did the preliminary, the first real state-sponsored studies on cancer around nuclear plants, and showed very clearly that the Pilgrim was certainly implicated in a higher cancer rate around the area. Arlene Williams, what do you want to say about
but, Harvey,
that?
By the way, too, though, but all the European studies that were done, too, over 5 or 7 plants, showed all of that radiation, too, because that was all over the Internet the minute the NRC canceled its plans because they knew that every cancer was going to be found.
Yes, that's right. The NRC has canceled a study on cancer around nuclear plants, and we are now seeing, as a new report came out within the last week, I posted at nukefree.org about a skyrocketing thyroid cancer rate at Fukushima. And, of course, the Boston...
Clapp is
going to
be speaking, by the way, at that Thursday, October 22nd thing. Stand up.
The Pilgrim reactor is a Fukushima clone, as Paul has pointed out. Arlene, what have you got to add from Cape Cod?
Well, I would probably have to agree that, you know, I don't believe with the motto of the NRC saying they protect people and the environment, because that's clearly not the case. They seem to protect the nuclear industry in that, you know, so many violations that have been taken place and have been discovered at Pilgrim are basically not having strong orders to deal with these problems. They're, you know, they're basically saying, well, you know, when you get around to fixing them, just give us a call and we'll come in and do another inspection. I mean, that's not in so many words, but basically that's what they're saying. And how can we trust that, you know, that they're looking out for our safety? I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous. 2 weeks ago, they found out that the meteorological towers at the plant, which would detect where the wind's going, God forbid there was an accident, so they wouldn't be able to notify certain areas that a plume may be going in their direction, have failed. They have been out of order more than that they've been working. And then in 1992, the NRC also implemented some kind of a fire program that had to be installed into the control room because, God forbid, there was a fire in the control room. It would short-circuit a lot of important stuff that could end up in a very, very bad situation. For 23 years, they've ignored that order, and now they have two people actually standing guard to sniff out smoke in the control room.
Yeah, I mean, that's really great. To reassure us all in this computer age, Pilgrim Entergy has hired two people to stand and work for fire. I like that.
Exactly. So how can we trust the NRC when these things just continuously happen over and over and over again? I mean, Pilgrim has gotten one bad assessment after another. I mean, it's like on a downward trend, and every year it got worse, and this one is, like I said, it can't get any worse, or it would be shut down by the NRC, but that's not going to happen, and it makes us all quite nervous, and, you know, we just hope that nothing happens there before it does close. But, you know, there's so many other problems, worrying about spent fuel, and, you know, basically what are they going to do? I know that the Vermont Yankee is having problems with they've trying to eliminate, I don't even know if they have yet, but I know that they were doing away with their EPZ zone and basically just putting a padlock on the property perimeter while that spent fuel just sits in a swimming pool. You know, it's just
amazing. It's truly
crazy.
Amazing.
It's crazy. So how can we, you know, really, really believe in the NRC with these things that we know about? And what we don't know about, I can't even imagine how scary that would be. So.
Tim Jensen, what do you think we don't know about, and what do you want to say about these reactors, especially Pilgrim now, but Fitzgerald and Fitzpatrick, rather, and Indian Point?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Arlene's absolutely right. The NRC isn't to be trusted at all, and in fact, you know, the situation that Pilgrim is in right now was essentially created by the NRC's negligence in not enforcing its own regulations proactively enough. In fact, I'm probably pretty sure that NRC is a little embarrassed that it's had to step in and take action now, basically because Entergy's been, you know, been sort of watching this plant go to pot over the last couple of years while it's been losing money left and right. But I think in terms of, you know, I think what's going on in Vermont is actually an important example for, you know, for Massachusetts to take a look at now. The state of Vermont is in a couple of different fights with Entergy right now over things that are happening at Vermont Yankee after it's been shut down. But the state actually was extraordinarily proactive 2 years ago in negotiating a contractual agreement with Entergy about what was going to happen with Vermont Yankee after Vermont Yankee closed. And the first thing that's happening, and it's happening right now, is that Entergy is under this agreement with the state of Vermont, getting the waste out of the fuel pool and into dry cask storage. And there are some disagreements and fights over, you know, the particular details of, you know, where the waste is going to go, you know, where they're going to build the storage facility on site and that kind of stuff. But the state of Vermont actually got a commitment from Entergy to take care of that safety issue immediately after the plant closed. And the waste is going to be out of that pool within 5 years. Massachusetts should be doing the same thing as Vermont did, especially with regard to not just the fuel pool, but also the decommissioning of the plant. And that's an area where, Entergy really, I think, deceived the state of Vermont in negotiating this agreement. And it's an area where, you know, where Massachusetts, you know, could actually really put the screws to Entergy, and get a better, and, you know, get a better, you know, agreement on the decommissioning and cleanup of the Pilgrim site to give, you know, the community around there some reassurance and some relief from all the contamination that Pilgrim has dumped in Cape Cod Bay for years.
God. Well, the real test, of course, is going to come when this fuel cycle ends and we'll see if they're going to sneak through and get another load of fuel in there. But in the meantime, everybody's got to be on pins and needles. I mean, these damn things, they're putting less and less money into them. They're getting older and older. I mean, I'm near Davis Bessie, and that one almost makes Pilgrim look safe, although I won't go that far. Paul Gunter, you've been involved with the fire protection issue right from the start there. What does this announcement at Pilgrim tell you about the fire protection issue?
Well, in fact, the entire nuclear industry has been out of compliance with with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission's fire code, principally, following the Browns Ferry fire in 1975, the NRC rewrote the fire code. And it required that you protect the electrical cable for power, instrumentation, and control to shut the reactor down, that you had to protect that cable. And, this cable runs throughout the plant. It runs under the control room. It runs into the control room. And, it's been basically a multiple choice exam between NRC and the industry, and the industry's, you know, consecutively chose none of the above. And, the NRC has failed to take enforcement action. They continue to rely on what they call enforcement discretion, which is, get out of jail free. And, the industry, by and large, has been operating with these, they call them compensatory measures or fire watches, like was explained. But, we're basically on a hope and a prayer that a significant fire doesn't happen again. And it's a situation where there is no regulatory compliance, and we don't have an effective regulator to enforce its own regulations. It's sort of like a Russian roulette game where we're basically relying on the odds that a significant fire is not going to happen. And we've been lucky because most of the risk from a nuclear meltdown by the NRC's own studies will come from a fire that will cause electrical failures, the loss of cooling, the loss of the ability to control the plant shutdown, and you basically have a Fukushima at that point.
So are these guys who are looking for fires at Pilgrim, are they walking around with candles?
No,
I think they fire people with big noses.
they're basically there to smell smoke or look for flame. But, a fire watch person is not the same as having a working fire barrier. You know, these are, you know, we find consistently that these fire watches over the years, and these fire watches have been going on for decades because we don't have effective fire regulation. These guys, you know, they nest up at a quiet part of the plant with a joint, a beer, and a book. And then they will sign off that they did their route. And then, you know, I mean, some do, but, you know, there's no way of effectively verifying that these fire watches are actually doing their job because they've been caught. You know, Turkey Point, they had a guy there who was found overdosed on heroin, and he was a fire watch. And he said, you know, there's really no way that you can compensate for a passive fire feature, a piece of infrastructure like a fire barrier or a fire door, you know, with a person. You know, they're not going to throw themselves on the flames.
Wow. So at Pilgrim, I guess that at the other nuclear plants, if you smell smoke and it's pot, that's okay. But if it's styrofoam, then you got to call the fire department. Is that basically it? They're not using hemp to insulate these cords, I hope. Sheila, what do you think? Are you going to apply for a job at Pilgrim to be a fire watcher?
Yeah, no, of course not. Let's do another round, Javi. There are a few other things I'm sure I want to say, and I'm sure everybody else has. First, thank you for doing this, and thank you, Arlene, Tim, and Paul. It has really been wonderful to be here with all of us. Secondly, I want to talk about two other points. One, radioactive waste. I have long felt that radioactive waste will be what helps to close these things down. I'll come back to the word things in a minute. And, Javi, you seem to think not, but I do. And I know this having this conference call tonight about Yucca highways at Fukushima highways, but their last conference call, it was Tim who said that radioactive waste was brought to Germany. I hope I'm quoting you correctly, Tim. To really go over to get rid of all their nuclear and go to solar. And I haven't asked Michael yet where that comes from, but I really do believe that that's what's going to happen here. If we could get that into the hearts, minds, and souls of people. Mimi Gurman from Oregon has been quoting recently on her Facebook wall some of the words of Svetlana Alexievich, I hope I didn't murder her name, from her, she just won the Nobel Prize in Literature, yay, a woman, and she's talking about voices from Chernobyl, and a scientist is talking, this is a quote from the book, the decomposition of uranium, that's 238 half-lives. And what Svetlana did is she has quotes from regular people about what was happening to them. Translated into time, that's a billion years, and for thorium, that's James Hansen's love, it's 14 billion years. I couldn't even understand anymore. What is time? Where am I? So I also want to end with, when I did the plowshares that I was involved with a number of years ago, besides praying and hope and a prayer, Paul, besides praying and singing and waiting to be arrested, et cetera, and, you know, we always hammered on the housing for the, this is against first strike nuclear weapons, plows, swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. But I spray painted, as a Jewish woman, I spray painted Dachau on one of the tubes that was to house the first strike nuclear weapons. And that's what I think we need to spray all over these nuclear power plants. They are killing people outside. They're not burning us inside. They're killing everybody outside with the cancer and the radiation from the radioactive waste. And Beyond Nuclear says that there's no such thing as a small dose, a safe dose of ionizing radiation.
That's exactly right. Sheila, thank you so much. We're going to have to probably just wind down around now. We got 6 or 7 minutes left. It's been an honor to have you on, Sheila Parks, and we'll have you on again. And let's pray for a shutdown at Pilgrim as soon as possible. Arlene Williams?
Yeah.
What you got?
I want to thank you too for having the show tonight, and I was very honored to be part of it. I just want to say that you know, we need to shut the plant down a lot sooner than later, and it needs to shut down because of all these problems we know about, and God, the ones that we don't know about, and it's got to shut down now. It can't
okay,
wait.
Okay, very good. I also want to thank the crew in New York, by the way. We always have you know, challenge us, and you guys do a great job. We really, really appreciate it. And I'm sure, I guarantee you this is the only show of its kind that's doing this kind of in-depth stuff, and I'm going to continue to do this. I want to talk next week about Diablo Canyon and Indian Point, especially. Tim Jensen from the Nuclear Information Resource Service, you're still on the case here. What do we got to do in Boston and in Washington now to make sure that when I think it's going to be tough to shut them down at Pilgrim before this last fuel cycle. What's the key, you and Paul, to prevent another fuel load to go in at Pilgrim?
Sure. Well, like I said, Harvey, I really think that it's going to be incumbent on the state government in Massachusetts to make sure that that Pilgrim closes down as soon as possible. I actually don't think that Entergy is interested in running Pilgrim beyond 2017. But that's really going to be where the state can have a powerful effect on making sure that doesn't happen. But the idea that that Entergy is getting into the habit, as it did with Vermont Yankee and now wants to do with Pilgrim, of continuing to run an unprofitable plant for a year and a half to 3 years after it's already made a decision to close is absolutely insane. I mean, the morale of the workforce at that plant is going to be terrible from this point out. I think as Arlene might have pointed out, those guys are going to be looking for other jobs. It's going to be hard for Entergy to keep qualified staff on site at Pilgrim. And so, there really needs to be a proactive amount of pressure from the state government to get Entergy, to wind down this reactor as soon as possible.
Well, I agree with that. I think actually it's incumbent on us in the anti-nuclear movement to advocate that all employees at these nuclear plants stay on for decommissioning. I mean, these reactors are very quirky. They have all sorts of, specific realities to them. And the only people who really know these reactors well enough are the guys who've been and women who have been working there for the years. Paul Gunter, and thank you, Tim Jensen from the Nuclear Information Resource Service, for being on with us. We're running out of time. Paul, I'll give you the last words here.
Well, we know this plant's losing more than $40 million a year now. And as the profit motive is increasingly lost on Pilgrim and all these other nuclear power plants, the danger only increases. And it's incumbent upon us who are aware, active, and responsible to push these plants into closure and advocate for safe energy.
All right, man. That's Paul Gunter from Beyond Nuclear. Thank you, all four of you. A wonderful show. Next week, we're going to focus on Fitzpatrick, Diablo Canyon, and Indian Point. We'll be back next week for another tour of Solartopia. Thanks again, folks in New York.
Don't you know we're going to have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.